Grace to you and peace from God, our great Father, our provider in heaven, from Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen. Well, today, I'd like to look with you at Jesus' feeding of the 5,000 in John chapter 6. Now, this is an event recorded for us by the Holy Spirit in Scripture, where Jesus provided supernaturally for a great multitude of people who are in the wilderness. He fed them. And based on the scripture today, I'd like to ask this question. Will God also indeed provide for you? Think about that. That's the heart of our lives, really. Will God indeed, our Creator and Father in Jesus Christ, indeed provide for you in all things? Even in dire situations that seem like they're impossible, be it a financial crisis, a health crisis, a spiritual battle, will He provide for His people in Christ? And can we trust Him to do these things? Well, let's talk about this today as we look at the scripture. Jesus is feeding of the 5,000, John chapter 6. Let's start out by just reading it, refreshing ourselves in the story, and then we'll see what we can learn. Okay, John 6. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, just the Sea of Tiberias, and a multitude followed him because they saw the signs which he did on those who were diseased. So Jesus is healing people right and left, and there's a great horde. 5,000 are following. Jesus went up upon the mountain, and there sat down with his disciples. Picture it. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a multitude was following him, Jesus said to Philip, "How are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" Now this he said to test him, because Jesus himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 denarii would not buy enough for each of them to get a little. If we spent all of the money we had of a year's wages, we could only buy them a pack of chewing gum. There's no answer here. This he said, okay, and then one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, you know, he came forward and said, "Well, there's a lad here who has 5 loaves and 2 fish. What are they among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now the people sat down, a number about 5,000, as much grass in the place. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, and so also the fish, as much as they wanted, till they were full and could eat no more. And then Jesus said to the disciples, "Gather up the fragments that are now left over so that nothing will be lost." They gathered them up, and guess what? They filled all 12 baskets full with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. And when the people saw the sign which he'd done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." And of course, they're speaking there about the prophecy from Moses, who also said, great mass of people in the wilderness with bread from heaven, and he spoke of a prophet to come who would do the same thing and greater. And the people say, "This is Jesus," and they're right. So that's the story. Are you refreshed in it? You got it pictured in mind? What can we learn? Well, the first thing I think we can learn here is that God at times puts us in situations that seemingly have no answer, that we are at an impasse. Have you ever experienced that? Where you see no way out and no way through, and such was the case for the disciples here. Jesus asked them, "How are we about to buy bread?" Just picture the situation. Where are they? They're on a mountainside by a sea. There's no town nearby, no Publix nearby, no Walmart nearby, no supermarket nearby to go and get food. And yet there's a mass of 5,000 people, a small army, and they're hungry. And they don't even have any money even to buy hardly enough for themselves, let alone 5,000. So would you say that's a predicament? This is an impasse. And sometimes God puts, well, he puts his disciples here into an impasse, an impossible situation, where only God can provide. Does he do so with you? Do you think there are times in your lives when you have faced, you're sort of between a rock and a hard place, be it a financial crisis, a health crisis, a spiritual battle, or something else that you're facing? Well, God arranges such situations or allows us to get into them. The second thing we learn here is that In this impossible situation, Jesus tests his disciples. It's all arranged, really, to see what's in their heart. He goes to Philip and says, how are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? And this he said to, what? To test him, to test the disciples. He wants to know, in an impossible situation, and you don't see any hope whether you'll put your trust in God still to provide, will you? I'm asking you right now. Can you do that? Let's see what happens here. Well, first off, let's understand that God does test us. When the chips are down, you see no way out or no way through, will you put your trust in God? Think about what it says in Psalm 11. It says, the Lord is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyes test the children of men. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and his soul hates him that loves violence. Does God test us? He tests righteous people, wicked people, believers, unbelievers, anybody on earth. If you are on earth and you're a person, expect that God will test you and put you into situations occasionally like this. As indeed, he's always looking into our hearts. Look at he tests the disciples here. He tested them on the sea. Remember when the storm is raging and the clouds are getting darker and the sea is surging and they're bailing? And they look out to their outward resources. I mean, they look to their resources, their boat, it's small. The storm is huge. There's no hope. It's an impasse. Master, save us. What should we do? And he gets up, and what does he do to them? He rebukes what? Not only the wind and the sea, but their faith. Because they didn't trust him to provide, right? Where is your faith when he calms the storm? So he tested them, and they failed. There was a time, actually, when God tested Abraham. Remember in the Old Testament? Take your son up to the mountain, slay him there before me. Abraham passed that test, and God actually not only saved his son, but provided. Say provided.
Provided.
He provided a ram in the place of Isaac, saved his son, and then what does Abraham say? He called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. Say provide again. He's the father of all the faithful. Abraham is, and he says, that's the name of God. The Lord provides. We have a providing God. How about Job? Job was tested. This is the last example in this part. Job says, behold, I go forward. He's not there. I turn backward, but I can't perceive him. On the left, I see him. I can't see. Behold him. I turn to the right, and I cannot see him. You ever feel like that in your life? Has God put you into an impasse, an impossible predicament, where you look here and there and you can't see him, you can't see any way out? Job was tested that way too, but he says, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, when he's tested me, I shall come forth as gold. So the crucible's for silver, the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tries, that is, the Lord tests hearts. He's going to test you, he's going to test me. But the question is, when the chips are down and you don't see any way to be provided for, will you trust him even then to provide as the all-providing God and Father? Well, what the disciples do? Jesus asks the question. He says, Philip, how are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? It's a good test, isn't it? He said it because Jesus knows what he's going to do. How does Philip answer? He answers the same way we will, pretty much. First thing, what does Philip do? Verse 7, it says, he answers, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. So what does Philip do? He looks out at the overwhelming situation. And he says, it's hopeless. That's his answer to Jesus. If we worked an entire year, 200 denarii, Jesus, a year's wages, we could barely buy for them a pack of juicy fruit gum to feed. It's impossible. So that's one way we respond. When we get into put in these places, if God will provide, we look out at our outward crisis, whatever it is, and it's overwhelming. You feel that sometimes? That's what we do. Some of us are more industrious, like Andrew, which is the next verse. It says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, to Jesus, well, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many? So, where does Andrew look? He doesn't just look at the overwhelming circumstance, he then looks down at his resources. to meet that overwhelming circumstance. And what does he find? Well, there's 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish. Where does that leave Andrew? In despair, just like Philip. Philip looks at the overwhelming situation, hopeless, despair. Andrew tries at least to get some goods together, and he goes like, hopeless, what are they among so many? There's no answer to this question, Jesus. And that's not where Jesus wanted to leave them. That's often where we get, though, isn't it? What is your crisis today? Think about it. Get it in your hearts. If you're facing something overwhelming and it's huge, then you look at your resources and they're small. That's usually where we end. That's not where God wants his people to end. That's where the world of the flesh and of the devil, the unbelief, ends. Because that's the only way they have to meet it. And both lead to despair. But God, testing our hearts, says, I want your heart to be somewhere else. Namely, not to look only at the outward circumstance, not only at your little resources downward, but I want you to look upward to the God who can provide, who stills the roaring of the sea, who creates the stars, who can provide for you in all things. Will you do it? Can you do that? Well, what does Jesus do? He teaches us here by his example. Jesus' answer is, make the people sit down. In other words, he's going forward. If you look only at the outward, you're going to be stalled and paralyzed and frozen. If you look at your resources only, you're going to be stalled and frozen and paralyzed. If you look upward, you go forward because God is the God who provides. He's a providing God. And Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there's much grass in the place. So the people sat down, the men sat down, 5,000 of them. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, obviously looking up to God, trusting for his provision, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And so, where do we look? Where are you going to look? What are you facing today? Is it health? Is it debt? Is it spiritual battle? What is it? You can look out and get the Spirit. You can look down and get the Spirit. Or you can look up and rejoice with thanks that God is going to provide for you, even if you can't see any way out, even if you can't see any way through, because he's a providing God. That's what he wants in the hearts of his people, Christians. His own flock are not like the world. The world has nowhere else to look but to their resources to meet the need. Christians who know God look to the God of all resources, who can provide even when their little resources can't meet their great need. Amen? You follow me? Say, God provides. So that I know. Okay. So when the chips are down, will you trust in him? When you look to God as the provider, then you are knowing God as he truly is. Because God provides for all of his creation, and he always does, whether you know it or not. Does that mean, though, that we should not assess the situation? No, that's fine. Philip did. Does that mean we should not look at our resources and see if we can try to meet it with our resources? No, that's good. You can go look at your bank account. You can look at how many doctors you have for your illness. Medications, you can look at whatever strength you have for your spiritual battle. That's okay. But when this doesn't match the need out there, you look up, and you always look up. That's where your heart is. And God can make the little resources to match the big need by multiplying them just because he's God. Can he do that for you? Absolutely. Well, think about this. Jesus takes 5 loaves and 2 fish. How much of 12 baskets is that going to fill? Probably maybe a quarter fill with each of those 12 baskets. By the time they're done, how much does he have? They're brimming over and overflowing with goods. God can take the little resources and multiply them, or he can even act out of nothing and provide for you, or he can take the resources you have and just use them without multiplying them, but in every case, he provides. And will you trust him for that today? What are you facing today? I bet you, if you are feeling fear and anxiety and dread and worry, that's because you believe God can't provide for you, or you're afraid he won't, at least. Isn't that true? The moment that you believe that God will provide for you and your need, out goes fear, and in comes the peace that passes all understanding. And that's what God wants your life to be like. And so, They gathered up the 12 baskets and filled them with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. They had more in the end than they started with in the beginning, because Jesus looked to God. And that's a New Testament principle. When it talks about giving in 2 Corinthians 9, Paul says, "But God, the same God who supplies seed to sowers and provides bread for our food, will also supply and multiply your resources and increase the harvest of your salvation, of your righteousness." So if we have a campaign like we're going to start next week to raise some money for a radio show, do you think if we put our little resources out there that we'll still have enough in the end? We put a little bit out and he multiplies it, we'll have plenty. God always supplies enough for his deeds of ministry. And not only does that, but increases it so that you have more at the end than you had at the beginning when you gave money that you didn't think you had to give. Right? And that goes for other areas of life too. So the point is, God is interested today that you know him as your provider. And that's what it really is to trust him. Will you? Well, the guys in the Old Testament didn't. They didn't trust his saving power, Psalm 78. Think of the excuses we might make. "Oh, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but that's old. That was then, Pastor. But this is now. This is different. That was biblical days. God didn't work that way anymore." Is that an objection that might cross you alone? Well, what's the answer to that? Malachi, God says, "I, the Lord, do not change." Hi, Hebrews. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. As he worked back then for them, so he will work today for you. But you trust him for it. Now, he even provides for wicked people, although they can be in scant fare. The people of Christ are not so in vain. Now, I think you might also say this. That was a supernatural occurrence, though. You think, really, that God is going to do that in my life? Multiply things supernaturally? Well, sometimes God works supernaturally. Sometimes, usually, he works naturally, through normal means of what you have. But he can multiply them. So, for example, I went to a pastor meeting the other week with a pastor from Titusville, Bruce Alberts. He was saying that for years he felt so guilty because he just has not been able to give the tithe because he's been in debt and difficulty financially. But then finally he said he just wanted to give something. He didn't give the whole 10%, but he gave like $180 that week. And then he says it blew him away. Within a day later, someone from another quarter came without any relationship and gave him a check for $180, the exact amount he gave. He said that was weird. But the weird thing is it happened two more times. He says, then I gave him $220, and then a check came from somewhere else, totally out of the blue, for that exact amount. Another time, he gave $310 or something like that, and in comes a $310 amount check. He says, this is insane. I always believed God could do this. I talked about it. But when I actually do it and see God show up, that's amazing. It's insane, as he kept on saying. It's insane. Do you believe God can do that for you? Give him the little bit that you have and trust him for it, to multiply it. That's what he is as your provider. Why can we trust God to provide for us and all of our needs according to his timing and his choice? It's because he has the power, number one, to help us. God says in Job, he says, "Have you an arm like God? Can you thunder with a voice like his? Then I also will declare to you that your own right hand can give you victory." God is actually putting Job down there in a sense. He's saying, if you can command the stars and thunder with your voice, then you can get victory. But if you can't, look to me because I can. Would you do that? You know one of our problems? We confuse the reservoir with the stream, the channel with the source. We think that because our bank account's not big enough, or we don't have enough doctors or medical knowledge to handle our case, or spiritual strength, that if that dries up, then we're done. Kaputsky. Right? If that dries up, this stream bed dries up, then there is no more. You're confusing the channel with the source. As Christians, we look to the reservoir, God who has all resources and can provide an abundance for your every need. If this stream dries up, your bank account here, or your doctor's here, and there's no way left out here, that's not the end for a Christian. We look to Him, He can cause another stream to come in from over here, another channel from over there, and continue to supply us. He's not limited to the channel. Are you, though? A lot of times we are just like, oh, if this is not, this is a resource, that's all I got. If this goes, I'm sunk. It's not how it is for a Christian. We look at the resource. If it's too small to meet the need, we simply say, here, God, I look to you as provider. Take this little and multiply it. He'll do it for you because He is a supernatural God. Listen to His power. To whom will you compare me, says the Lord in Isaiah, that I should be like Him? Consider this, Israel. Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these, the stars? He brings out all their hosts by number, calling all by name. By the greatness of His might, because He's strong in power, not one is missing. But you cannot be that night to see the sky. Have you looked up? I've done that. There's beautiful Orion, and there's Venus up there, and all Capella, and all these billions of stars. You can take a telescope, billions more. He has the power to put those up there, and that's an evidence to you, His power. Why don't you look to Him then for your strength? To the reservoir. He'll provide, He said. The second reason you ought to trust in Him is because He already provides for everything on there. That's His job, right? What's Jesus say? Look to the, where's our bulletin? Look at the chickadee there. Does God provide for that chickadee? Does the chickadee go to bed at night going, oh, I wonder if I'll have enough for tomorrow. I wonder if I'll have enough for next year. Carefree ease, the Father feeds the chickadee. Jesus says, if God takes care of sparrows, will He not also take care of you? You are of far greater value than many sparrows. Do you believe that God will take care of little creatures? Say yes, if you believe that. And why is He not going to take care of you if you're of a greater value? We have the sea over here, teeming with things innumerable, thousands of creatures. Every day God provides for them. And so will He not also provide for you, O ye of little faith? But seek His kingdom, Jesus says, and God's and His righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Which leads to the third point. What did we just hear right there? Promise. His word. Will you lean on His word to take care of you? Say amen.
Amen.
Jesus has promised to take care of us when we seek first His kingdom and make all things abound. Beth's health has actually been, as you know, my wife, has been pretty bad for 25 years. Last fall, she went and she was at a Christian conference and she heard, while she's praising God, I'm going to heal you. She's like, you know, we don't usually hear a direct communication like that. But then she said, in this life or the next life, Lord, that's okay. I'm content. And she heard all week long, in this life, in this life, in this life. Came home excited. 3 days later, she was up in the middle of the night, couldn't sleep. God revealed to her what her problem was. She found she had broken in her ear bones. Went to the doctor. He confirmed it. She's had 2 surgeries. So that's all great, isn't it? She's been feeling better. But then, lately, she's had some of her old symptoms coming back. Her heartbeat in her ear, and she's getting afraid that her ears are getting worse again. She emailed the doctor. The doctor says there's not much more he can do. Limited resources. One more little outpatient surgery. How does it make that feel? Or me? All of a sudden you feel the despair. Uh-oh. And this is for you too in your situation. Uh-oh. Overwhelming circumstance. Outward. Look down. Limited resources. Leads to despair. What do? Thankfully, I was working on the sermon this week. We look up and say, wait a second. There's a God of all resources. Multiply these little resources to meet that overwhelming need. And by the way, He's given us His word on it in this life. And so no matter how long that takes, Abraham waited 25 years for Isaac after the promise was made. We can wait as long as it takes for the Lord to deliver His word. But the point here is His word never fails. In all God's eternal history, He's never once failed His word. And if you have a word given to you in the scriptures, I will provide for you. You can bank on that and rest your hat on that and believe on that, because every word of God proves true. He's a shield for those who take refuge in him. David says, yea, does not my house stand so with God? For he's made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. For will he not cause to prosper all my help and my desire? So what are you going to do this week? Your next crisis. You're going to look outward to the overwhelming circumstance? You can see that and assess it. That's okay. You're going to look at your resources and see how you're going to meet it? That's okay. Are you going to despair if this doesn't meet that? No, because you're a Christian. And God's people don't end there. They look up to the God of all resources, and he's provided, I will provide, said, I will provide for you in abundance for your every good need. I'll help you in your health. I'll give you endurance in the midst of your trials to see that you get all the way through. I'll help you to make your bills. I will just look to me. And if he's provided for food for his people on earth, how much more is he providing us the food of his word and in all things in Jesus Christ? Amen? All the promises of God find their yes in Jesus Christ. And what has he provided for you? You look out at death. You look out at wrath. You look out at hell. Too big for me. You look at your resources. My righteousness is like a filthy rag. This will never match that. But when I look up to him, I see that he's provided against that by his own righteousness, apart from my little righteousness, which is nothing, to provide for me forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. He's provided for you eternal life through Jesus Christ. He's provided for you a room in his mansion through Jesus Christ, and an eternal future in his kingdom in Jesus Christ. And if he's done all these big things, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, why won't you believe that he'll also give you all things with him? The lesser things. If he's provided for your salvation, surely he'll help you in your daily life's needs. So don't look outward, don't look downward, look upward and trust in the God to provide. And we'll conclude with this word, because all things are good in Jesus. With the Lord on my side, I don't fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side to help me. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and declare the deeds of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.